Okay, as we continue on, the second topic I want to look at is what I'm praying for the church at work. And depending on how you hear that statement, it might change how you think the session will go. Praying for the church at work. And so, I think that's actually the table that we didn't use, that has a tabletop. So probably none of you have talked about that one. But I kind of begin with a pretty basic question that almost becomes a stumbling block in the conversation, is what is the work of the church? I'm guessing if you would go into the gathering of believers that you meet with tomorrow morning and get there really early so that you can ask every single person that comes in the door the question, what is the work of the church? You would probably come up with something close to the number of answers as to the number of people that come through the doors. You'll probably get a few duplicates. There's things that are rather similar. But it seems like, again, it's how we view it. If it's the church, we kind of tend to think the work of the church as being rather general. If it's my church, we kind of think of the work of the church as being what satisfies me. If it's Christ's church, well, then our minds probably ought to think something just a little different. John chapter 6, Jesus is asked about the works that God requires. Asked by people that want to follow God, that want to know what God would have them do, while not directly referring to the church, as the church really hadn't been born yet. This is the answer that Jesus gave in John chapter 6, verse 29. Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent." Period. Wait. There has to be more. But sometimes I think we add so much to the work of the church in our definition, in our mind, that the real work of the church kind of gets overlooked. The second part, not only what is the work of the church, but if we come to an agreement of what God believes the work of the church is, then the question is, how does it get done? Who does it? Well, depending on, again, on how you define the work of the church, if you would ask those same people coming through your doors tomorrow morning, and particularly if you don't define what the work of the church is, and you just blindly ask them, who's responsible for doing the work of the church? They would probably give you the preacher's name, the youth minister's name, the name of the church staff. They may even go as far as the elders and the church leadership. But I'm guessing it would be pretty rare that the person would answer, "I am responsible for doing the work of the church." And yet, I believe Jesus has called us all to be involved in that. And so, again, there's two sides to this. One is praying for the church at work deals with how the church goes about what God wants it to do. The flip side then becomes a little more interesting in our culture, society. And that would address the issue, should the church be involved in the workplace? Praying for the church at work. What would that look like? And again, it probably comes back to that definition. Is it the church? Is it my church? Or is it Christ's church? The New Testament teaches that God has gifted individuals within the body with unique gifts for specific purposes. He has gifted some with leadership and teaching gifts in order to, not in order to do the works of service, but God says those gifts have been given to equip the body, to equip the individual believers for the works of service. So as we pray for the church at work, we begin to look at what does God want me to do and where does He want me to do it. One of the things that's fascinating about my understanding of New Testament Scripture and reading of it is that as the church gathered, particularly the early church, and in the midst of severe persecution, you would get the idea based on the wording used that many of these gatherings were somewhat in secret. They were gathering even in fear of immediate persecution. And even in those times, Scripture says that their numbers increased daily. They increased greatly. It's become easy in our culture, in our society, to simply put a sign out front and expect people to come. Doesn't mean they will. And particularly more so as our culture moves in the direction it does, it's less likely that they will. But we almost expect in our American Christianity that the work of the church gets done within this building that we meet at. But it appears that in the New Testament church, their work was being done outside wherever they went. And the meeting was primarily in a meeting of fellowship and encouragement, of breaking bread, remembering the Lord's death, resurrection, and the Word, instruction. And from there, they would share life in the marketplace. And as opportunities presented, would share Jesus with people. As we consider Jesus talking about the work of God simply being to believe in the one He has sent, you might want to recognize that He's not talking about, again, it's kind of that difference between wisdom and knowledge. He's not talking about believing it just as, well, yeah, God exists. He's talking about a belief that does something about what we believe. It's pretty easy to say we believe something until somebody asks us to prove it. And then we may start backpedaling just a bit. And as we pray for Christ's church at work, we begin to pray not only for the work of the church, the work of, again, probably should have defined this pretty early, but when I talk about praying for the church, I'm and it did talk about a little bit, not talking about the building. I'm not even talking about the gathering as much as I'm talking about the people. And sometimes it's easy to pray for generic people. But what about specific people? And so as I consider the work of the church and praying for the work of the church, I'm praying for the work of the people, and currently writing another devotional book, that's the working title is Here Am I. And the title comes from Samuel's response that he gives first to Eli, and then Eli says, "No, you need to talk to God because I'm not the one calling you." But it'll be wrapped around each day, it's 31-day devotional, wrapped around something that God has called each of us to. And He wants us to say, "Here am I." And that, to me, that's the lifeblood of praying for the church at work, is that the people individually would say, "Here am I," wherever they are. I think the subtitle right now is Pursuing a Sacred Calling in the Midst of Everyday Life. And again, it's that idea that those who work full-time in occupational church ministry aren't the only workers in the kingdom. In fact, I would venture to say they're not even the primary workers in the kingdom. We like to think they are. But most of our area churches may have one or two paid staff members, usually a preacher, youth minister, at some of them. And if those are the primary workers within your church congregation, you're going to be pretty limited in the witness of the church. And so as we consider praying for the work of the church, we begin to pray for the work that God does through each of us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, Paul writes and says, again, he's praying for the church. "We pray to God that you will not do anything wrong, that not that people will see that we have stood the test, but that you will do what is right, even though we may have seemed to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth." Did you catch that? Paul's prayer for the people, for the church at Corinth, is that they would not do anything wrong. Now, if you consider Jesus saying that the work of God is to believe in the one He has sent, putting that belief into practice says, "I'm going to do what He says." And I believe that's part of why Paul prays that the church would not do anything wrong. People are watching. You have people in your life that know you attend church on whatever consistency that you do. And whether you've ever said anything to them or not, they're watching your life to see if it measures up to their view of what a Christian ought to be. Doesn't mean their view is correct. But sometimes we kind of do a disservice in the things that we let slide in our own life in accomplishing the work of God in the lives of others. And part of doing the work of the church is praying that the people of the church would not do wrong, that their lives would represent Jesus well. Not only do we pray that they would not do wrong, in Colossians again, the verse following the one we read earlier, Colossians 1, verse 10, again, Paul's praying. He says, "And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints. So as we pray for the work of the church, we pray for the people of the church in order that they may live a life, not only a life worthy of the Lord, but a life that bears good fruit because of their work. And nowhere in Scripture do I see that definition of work defined. It doesn't say because of their work in the church. It doesn't say because of their work teaching Sunday school. It doesn't say because of their work serving communion. It doesn't say because of their work preaching the word. It doesn't say because of their work. It just says because of their work. Whatever that is. God has put the members of individual congregations scattered throughout your community to do His work. And they have an opportunity to do the work of God, to believe in the one that God has sent in places that I may never get to, in places you may never get to. And as we pray for the work of the church, we pray that the people of the church would recognize their sacred calling in the midst of their job. So does the church be involved in the workplace? Well, of course, the church is the people. If the people aren't involved in the workplace, are they just lazy? Or, I mean, God has called us to work. And I recognize we reach a time where we're able to retire and our, quote, workplace looks different than what it may have looked like. But we still have places and things and interactions that we are a part of. Fun story. It's in the infancy stages. I don't know how God's going to play it out completely. But as we consider how we do this, how we pray for the people within the work that they do. One of our vehicles was involved in an accident late June, if I remember correctly. It just has taken so long, my mind's... it needed body work, significant body work it ended up being. But the other parties was at fault. They took responsibility. Their insurance said they would cover it all. And they had a recommended body shop that I took it to. The initial person that I talked to, we had a good interaction. He was very helpful. And they began the work. And a week or two later, I get an email from another individual at the body shop. Saying that he was following up on it and he would be overseeing the work now. And I get this email and I read it. It says, that name's familiar. And so I write back and I take care of the business part of the correspondence. And then I says, by the way, some years ago I knew a young kid with the same name that you have. And was part of the children's ministry that I was leading at the time. I said, would you happen to be that same person? Or are there two of you running around town? And he writes back and says, yeah, that's me. And so I continue with obviously the business part of it. But, you know, it was that sense that that's not what this is about. I said, you know, we'd love to see you back at church sometime if you're... You know, in the area, you're not involved anywhere. And he says, no, I'm not going anywhere, and I really need to reconnect. And a couple weeks ago, he showed up at the church and plans on being there tomorrow. And I think, you know, we look at that, and I was talking to him. He says, yeah, I was at my desk and my boss comes in and hands me this folder and he says, I'm just swamped with work. Can you follow up with this customer? And it's like, yeah. And he recognizes that that was just I don't know how much he recognizes it as a God thing, but he recognizes it as unusual. But it's so easy as we go through life to think, well, you know, I could have just said, that's cool. I remember him. He'll probably do a good job for me. And just left it at that. But when I begin to pray for the work of the church, I recognize that my work isn't just teaching about prayer. It's not just praying. It's not just doing physical tasks that I'm required to do. It's connecting with people that God brings across my path to connect with. And so as we pray for the work of the church, we pray that our life would bear fruit. Now, if you read Scripture, you recognize that bearing fruit is a good thing. But you also read, if you follow up on that, that it can be a painful thing. Because the bearing of fruit generally requires a pruning throughout the process. At least the bearing of good fruit. I stayed at a farmhouse this summer on vacation that had a lot of, not a lot, but several old apple trees on the property that the deer would come up and kind of clean up whatever had fallen each night. But the trees really hadn't been cared for. They hadn't been pruned. Nothing was done to them. And so while the fruit was there, it really wasn't what I would have considered good fruit. And so as we pray for the work of the church, we pray that the lives of the people would bear good fruit. But we also then have to pray that they would be prepared for the pruning process, as God refines them into what He wants them to be. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verse 11, Paul writes, and again he's praying, "With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of His calling, and that by His power He may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in Him according to the grace of our Lord, or the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." Second Thessalonians 1:11. And so it's this idea that every time I read that, it just, that God would count us worthy. I don't think I'm alone in this, but there's times where I sit alone in my thoughts and I know I'm not worthy. But to recognize that as we pray for the work of the church, we pray for the work of the people that God has gathered together as His children, we pray that God would count each of us worthy of His calling. And it's by His power He would fulfill every good purpose and every act prompted by faith. There's probably several things that need to happen for God to do that. But probably the most necessary and the most overlooked is it requires that we actually do something that's an act of faith. For God to fulfill every purpose, every work that's a part of our act of faith requires that we do something that takes faith. As we pray for the church at work, we pray that the people of the church would live and walk not by sight, but by faith. Again, that becomes so difficult if we're not spending time with God. Oh, it's easy to dream up my plans and then to just go full speed ahead to try to make them happen and say, well, I'm doing this by faith. But the difficulty, the problem with doing my plans by faith is I don't have the power to accomplish them by faith. It's when I spend time in submission to God's Word and His will and in prayer recognize that the good works and purposes that I'm doing are according to His will. It's then that the faith is empowered by God Himself. So often I hear people praying for things that they want the church to do, things that they've come up with. And it's just, they can be very persistent. And persistence isn't the same as faith. And it becomes that tension of knowing the will of God and actually understanding it. As I've taught in other sessions over the years, I don't believe that the will of God is as difficult as we tend to make it out to be. The problem is we want it more specific about things that are really not all that significant. And God says His will involves people coming to know Him. One of my favorite passages, and I have a whole list of them in case you've heard me say that before about something different. God says it's His will that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. Sometimes I hear people that'll use part of that and say, well, God's will is that none should perish, and so since He's all powerful and loving, I can do whatever I want because His will is that I won't perish. I said, well, you missed the next part. It says that all would come to repentance. It means you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing and you need to change. And so as we pray for the work of the church, we pray for not just the work of the people representing Jesus, but we pray for the work of the people representing Jesus wherever they're at. You see, God has called each of us to a life that's supposed to be working. And again, it's not the same work. The goal is the same. The goal is to represent Jesus faithfully in whatever we do. But where that is and who it's with will vary. And if we represent Jesus well where we're at, and the person that sits across the aisle from us at church on Sunday represents Jesus well where they're at, and if each person that gathers together represents Jesus well where they're at, how many points of light, of points of Jesus, are present in your community on Monday morning? But if the only, quote, work of the church is viewed as what happens there in the building on a Sunday, Monday really is a pretty dark place in most of our communities. And so as we pray for the work of the church, again, all of these are going to kind of build together and be intertwined. We pray with the wisdom of God that says the work that God requires is that we would believe in the one He sent. The work that God asks of His followers, of His children, is to bear good fruit. And as you pray for the church, and we think at times, and I've even had times, and it's not bad to focus on praying for workers within the church. Workers within the mission field. We need those. Now, we need volunteers in so many areas within a church gathering on a Sunday. We need those that will devote their lives and work in the mission fields around the world. But so often we limit our prayers for the work of the church to that. And what would happen if our prayers expanded to praying for the work of each person, when we see each person as a part of Christ's church? And so, yes, the missionary in Taiwan is prayed for. But the missionary at the local intermediate school is prayed for also. The missionary at Walmart is prayed for. The missionary at the auto parts store is prayed for. The missionary at McDonald's is prayed for. You see, as we pray for the work of the church, do we pray for the church in general sense, which are very generic prayers? Do we pray for the work of my church, which is typically centered on me? Or do we pray for the work of Christ's church, which are all the people that are set apart by the blood of Jesus to do the good works He created in advance for them to do? We're going to take about 10 minutes this time. And I'd like you to find somebody, maybe 2, 3, 4 people, to pray with about the work of the church. And specifically about the work that God has called the people to do as individuals. And if you want to grab a few people and find somewhere in here, again, outside, if the mosquitoes don't carry you away, and spend about 10 minutes, we'll come back about 10:30, more or less. For the next session, but praying about how God would have you respond, not just in your prayer life, but in your actions regarding the work of the church. I want to pray and then have you go out. Father, thank you that you have gifted us with so many good gifts. And often we think of that in stuff. We look at our possessions, we look at our belongings, and we recognize that it all comes from you. But you've given us so much more. You've given us talents and abilities and personalities that can do your work at places that someone else can't. And you've designed your body in such a way that it's complete. And so, Father, as we pray for the work of the church, may we pray for the individuals that would do your work wherever you take them, every day. And may Jesus be glorified in our communities by those who faithfully do the work that you've called them to do. It's in His name that I pray. Amen. So go ahead and take some time to pray, and we'll gather back around 10:30.